You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Good morning. Thanks for being here. Another big day. Oh, the news never stops, and neither does Jamie. I pull the plug, but Jamie is like our Energizer Bunny, searching for things. A little good news, but not as good as the headline would have us believe.
Yeah.
It's a nice start. Okay, let's see some more. And I'm talking, of course, about Minneapolis, where Tom Homan announced yesterday that they are withdrawing about 700 federal immigration officers from Minnesota. That's about a quarter of those deployed. It leaves still 2,000 officers in the in Minneapolis, which is more than their local police force. It seems... You know, okay, it's a nice gesture.
That's sure.
Almost, that's what it feels like. Okay, look, we're going to negotiate because that's what happened. Homan and Tim Walz and Mayor Fry of Minneapolis, they all got together. They're having some negotiations. And they agreed, Jamie, to let, they will turn over undocumented aliens that
right.
they have arrested and are holding in jail. Minnesota
yes.
will turn them over. And I guess that placated Tom Homan for in the short term.
Sure. We'll go with that. I mean, this administration, it's all about placating to this administration. So it would make sense that that was the cooperation agreement that they came up with. Now, Homan did say yesterday in a press conference, there's not really a timeline for ending the overall operation, though, which is known as Operation Metro Surge. I don't understand why we have to name everything in this administration, but that's okay.
Everything
I
needs
digress.
Adjectives and names.
I digress.
It's like when you're a kid and you always have to, you know, you name your fort.
Right.
You name everything.
Right.
Everything's got to have a name.
We name everything. This has been previously called the largest immigration enforcement operation ever taking place in Minneapolis. And here's what Homan had to say yesterday. This is cut one. First
even
of all,
more quicker is
even
not
more
correct
quicker.
Grammar. Sorry.
I didn't want to pick on him too much, but that I had to listen to it a couple times last night. I was like, that's not what we say, but that's okay. That's okay.
He's blaming
yes.
the people who
yes.
are protesting. That's what it is. If you're nicer to us, we will draw down. It's your fault.
Right.
It's like telling an abuse victim, well, you know, you mouthed off.
Right.
It's
your
the
fault.
Same kind of thing. It's your fault. It's your fault, Minnesota, and it's not.
It absolutely not Minnesota's fault.
If you're a heavily armed, body armor wearing immigration officer who has cans of bear spray and an automatic weapon, and you are intimidated by a mom holding a sign that says F ICE, you're a little too fragile to be in the law enforcement business.
Yes. We've got a text coming in this morning. Lynn, listening on a 93.5, the tap out of Eau Claire in the Golden Valley area, says that this is a partial lie, since most of Minnesota already was handing over undocumented immigrants who were in mm-hmm. jail. So nothing's changed. Homan just said it was changed. And I think that's the interesting part when you do look at the law. She's absolutely correct. This was actually already happening in Minnesota.
Yes.
So really what Minnesota officials did is, as you said, placated. Well, we'll continue to do the thing we're already doing so that you feel better about this operation is essentially, I think, what happened yesterday.
Yes, it's like
this announcement.
It's like Greenland.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll let you have military bases there.
We already have those.
See,
sir.
I won. Okay, don't show him the ones he's already got.
I mean, that's okay. We don't talk about those. We keep those
no.
under wraps. That's what's happening.
But yeah, state prisons and the county sheriffs were already doing this in Minnesota. They were turning people over, which I'm fine with. If you've got somebody who's a violent criminal,
right,
and he's all, and they're already in custody. Yes, give them to ICE or give them to DHS.
Yes.
I'm fine with that.
I think that makes perfect sense. I don't know if a lot of people would disagree with that way of thinking. And by the way, if you want to chime in on the conversation this morning, 1-855-752-4842. That's 1-855-75-CIVIC. You can call or text. Now, obviously, this operation has been a bit of a flashpoint since the fatal shootings of Renee Good and Alex Preti during those encounters with the federal officers. The residents have protested the presence of the masked, heavily armed agents, citing the aggressive enforcement tactics. Now, President Trump, interestingly enough, said that he ordered the reduction, suggesting a softer touch may be needed, but also emphasized that immigration enforcement will continue. Well, thank you for that, Mr. President. We appreciate it. Now,
just like a line out of Hamilton, and I will send, and I'm paraphrasing, heavily armed divisions to remind you of my love. Softer touch. Thank you, dear leader.
Thank you, Parker. Governor Tim Walz and Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey did welcome this partial drawdown. They're calling for the entire operation, though, to end and for state-led investigations into the killings. Now, here's the interesting part that I find. Because always with this administration, there's some contradictory viewpoints, right? Yeah. Vice President J.D. Vance actually came out after this home and press conference yesterday and said that the officers being withdrawn were mainly providing security and insisted that enforcement is not actually scaling back. That's not what we're doing, even though Homan says additional reductions will only happen if cooperation continues and protests stop interfering with arrests, and did call it a drawback of 700 troops or of 700 agents.
And the president
agents.
Said it was a reduction.
Right.
So
and now
J.D.
Vance is like, no, it's not actually a reduction. That's not what we're doing. These were lower level people that were just offering some support. Okay.
Well, J.D. had a day yesterday, Jamie. Besides this, he also was in an interview, and you saw the president dress down Caitlin Collins again because, God forbid, a woman. These women with their questions and their opinions and their strong personalities, why don't they just smile?
Well, we should smile more. That is absolutely what we should be doing.
Especially when you're talking about girls who were sexually assaulted. That's a time to really grin it up.
Right.
And that's basically what J.D. said. What he said, well, the president was right. People should smile more, have a little fun. And it's like, dude, she's talking about children being raped. How much fun is that, JD? I know you have an affinity for upholstered furniture, but that's different.
This is why JD should not speak. I mean, honestly, and I don't say that sarcastically, but every time he speaks, he does things like this. He says things that are, and maybe that's the intention. Is that what he is? Is, you know, because every vice president in every administration is considered to have some sort of role, right? Because they're a vice president. And, you know, you watched President Biden send Kamala Harris to handle the border situation, which obviously, you know, during the last election, they picked up on that. And so is J.D. Vance's role here to be the like attack dog? Is he like the male version of Caroline Leavitt? Because I often wonder that. Is that what his role is here?
And I wonder if that's his assigned role or if that's the role he's putting on.
Yeah.
Figuring someday Donald Trump will not be here and I will be the face of the party.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know if. Well, I don't know if when Donald Trump goes, that's going to be the truth. I don't think J.D. Vance will be elevated to where he thinks he will go.
I would actually be interested to see how many Trump voters actually like J.D. Vance or support him as the vice president. Because if Trump is on a ticket, obviously the Trump voters are all in. But we've seen this happen, especially elections here in Wisconsin, where when he is not on the ticket, he's not on a ballot. The Trump voters don't show up quite as much. So I would be interested to see if they actually like J.D. Vance and if they could support him if there is no Donald Trump on the ticket with him. I think that would be an interesting conversation to have with Trump voters. And, you know, maybe it's whoever's going to carry out the same philosophy. And I totally understand that as well. But I think it would be interesting to see if it is actually the draw of Donald Trump or if J.D. Vance can bring them into the fold once he's not on a ballot somewhere.
Well, it's all going to depend on the leadership once Donald Trump is gone, because the reports all say that Don Jr. and everybody else who's rumored to be being groomed for office, loves J.D. Vance, was instrumental in getting his father to put J.D. Vance on the ticket.
Yeah.
So
I'm laughing to myself right now because I'm just trying to envision Don and Eric doing anything. Like anything at all. Like I'm trying to envision it at all. I never want to pick on a president's children, except these are grown adults.
These are not children.
These are adults. Right. That's the difference. But at the same time, and how often do we actually know a president's adult children? Like, honestly, think about that for a minute.
If they're not kids who are living in the White House that you see, you know, at family events and stuff.
Right.
But man, he push those people are front and center.
I don't know why we know so
but
much
you know
about
who's
Don
disappeared
and Eric.
A lot? Ivanka.
Ivanka
has disappeared.
Yes, Ivanka.
She's on the golf course.
She is.
Ivana.
She is. Absolutely.
They all sound the same.
They do. They actually do. You know what it makes me long for, though? This is if...
John Kennedy?
John Kennedy. I was even going to say George W. Like, this makes me long for the days of George W.
Yeah, remember when the biggest thing was the twins had a drink at college?
Yes.
It was like, oh, scandalous. Really? Yes, Parker, clutch your pearls.
Yes, I clutch my pearls. That's baffling.
Young women
in
college that may not have been 21... had a drink and tried to ditch their Secret Service.
Who would have ever guessed?
Terrifying.
You guys are awesome back there on the board, right there, always with the right appropriate moments. When it comes to the troop withdrawal, though, as we go back to our original conversation, as I'm sitting here thinking, and as we were talking through this administration and some of the, I don't know, whatever you want to call is happening. I do have a final question, though. Right. If we're watching a withdrawal of 700 agents, my question is, where are they going next? Because they're not sending them home, not with a $50,000 signing bonus and what this administration intends on doing with their ICE agents. So I guess my concern at this point, going back to the original conversation, isn't just about Minnesota. It's about what this administration's priorities are and whether this partial pullback is really just a pause or the first step towards enforcement somewhere else. That's what I keep going back to.
It's an interesting question. If you listen to what the president said yesterday, and we'll talk about the push to nationalize elections, 15 places, and we can... We could pretty much enumerate those now. My guess would be, based on what's happening, if there are any protests in Georgia starting over the ballots being taken and all the election materials being seized, that would be where he'd send them to Atlanta.
I think so. And I think that's going to be one of the first stops. And I think this administration is not great with their plans. They're very open with their plans. So as they move through and start mentioning, as the president starts mentioning places, I think that's where we're going to start seeing a lot of these agents end up. But that's the first thing that came to my mind yesterday is, you're withdrawing 700. So they're obviously not going on vacation. Where are you sending them next? That was what came to my mind. So unfortunately, I think we're going to have these conversations a lot.
anywhere there is dissent, it's like Tom Joad. If there's dissent, I'll be there.
Yes. It is 6:19 right now. You are listening to Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian New. When we come back, Wisconsin's Joint Finance Committee is trying to undo the 400-year-old veto. Or the 400-year veto. Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
6:22 right now. Good morning, Oshkosh and Appleton, listening on WISS, also WRCE, Richland Center. We are glad you're joining us. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. This is Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. And if you want to get involved, we'd love to hear your opinion on this. Where do you fall on the 400-year partial veto? The Republicans in the Joint Finance Committee voted to advanced the proposal, which would undo Governor Evers' 400-year partial veto, which is tied to school funding. If you want to answer that and get involved in the conversation, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Yeah, it was. They voted along party lines, Jamie, which will be
no surprise.
And the proposal would remove the $325 per student annual revenue limit increase for schools starting in the 2027-28 school year.
Yes.
So we've been talking about this a lot.
And we have. This is going to be a big topic over at the Capitol this year. The increase actually stems, for a little back history for anybody who doesn't know how we got here, stems from the 2023-2025 state budget, where Governor Evers used the partial veto authority to extend the funding provision all the way to the year 24-25. Because remember, in a partial veto here in the state of Wisconsin, all you have to do is cross out a couple numbers and you can take 2024 and 2025 to make it 24-25. It's one of the most liberal, veto authorities that any governor in the country has. And we have that here in Wisconsin.
A lot of leeway for the governor to just
now,
a little
by the way, out. By the way, this was a move that was actually upheld by the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So they said that the governor was well within his legal rights as governor of the state to make this particular move. And now the Republicans, again, along party lines, want to undo this. They argue that that veto locked Wisconsin into a one-size-fits-all funding policy for four centuries and also helped drive up the rising property taxes. GOP members of this particular committee say that undoing it is a necessary step toward meaningful property tax relief. As you can imagine, Brian, the Democrats do not agree. They see it very differently. They're arguing that property taxes rose in part because the last budget did not include new general school aid, which traditionally will help ease the burden on local taxpayers. Instead, lawmakers agreed to boost special education reimbursements, which they agree is also very much needed in our school districts, but it put a squeeze on homeowners by doing it that particular way. I think this is going to be interesting. And I mean, honestly, if you take a look at what's happening at the Capitol, Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee voting to do this, really, they had the opportunity to increase the general school aid already, which is one of the most direct ways of easing the pressure on property taxpayers.
Yes, everybody knows that.
But they left it on the table and it went flat and property taxes still went up. And now the same lawmakers are pointing to those increases as justification to roll back school funding authority, which...
Well, it's always easier to blame somebody else than take responsibility for what you've done. And that is what they have done. And that's what forced the governor to use the power that he has legally. It's on the books.
Yes.
If you don't like it, okay, that's fine. And I have some issues with it. I don't think anybody should have that kind of power to say, oh, it is very unusual. But back to your point, yes, everybody in all the school districts that have to vote on these referenda every year, every election cycle, we see it. People are tired of it. People can't afford it. Well, most people, though, will also say, we do need to fund schools. So if you're a Republican on the Joint Finance Committee, Where is that money coming from? You don't want to dip into the surplus because you want to save that for something down the road. You don't want to increase property taxes to pay for it. You have to have school funding. There's no way around it. So you have to decide if you're holding the purse strings, what pocket do you want to pull the money from?
Right.
And they're not doing it.
And with this 400-year veto, right, one of the things that I keep going back to in my own head is just by undoing it, it's not going to magically lower anybody's property tax bill. It's just going to limit what our schools can actually do in the future. And so Republicans arguing that that more money doesn't equal better outcomes, but that may be true in this broader sense. But if you're starving the schools of predictable funding while also complaining about higher property taxes, that isn't fiscally responsible. You're just playing politics right now. That's all you're doing. You're not actually trying to help average people and homeowners.
It's a shame, but that seems to be more the rule than the exception, where we're not we're not in the business of helping. We're in the business of politics and keeping our power, keeping our job,
mm-hmm.
and to hell with everybody else.
Right.
And this is a problem with the problem that's not going away. Look at test scores. Look at
right.
Look at people's educational level. Look, talk to people
yes.
and see why schools are important.
Yeah, and I mean, let's be honest for just a moment. If either party is being sincere in this particular conversation, then and really wants to use part of the $2.5 billion surplus for relief for our schools, if that's actually sincere, then this conversation needs to turn more about how to responsibly fund the schools and lower the property mm-hmm. taxes at the same time. And it shouldn't be about relitigating a veto that's already been settled no. in court. And I say that to Democrats as well, because you also have, you know, some, I get that there's a majority here in the state with GOP, but at the same time, you also have responsibility to your constituents. And so it needs to be less about the politics and actually about some relief, because I think everybody's tired of voting on referendums every time they yes. go to the ballot box.
Every single time. And I get people who've owned their homes for a long time and their kids are all grown and they're like, why do we have to keep, you know, you want
right.
you want to fund schools, but at some point you're like, oh my God, my kids haven't been in schools for 25 years and
right.
every election cycle I got to pay more and more and more.
Yeah.
This is nuts.
Yeah, it's nuts. And when we come back, we've got a lot of texts rolling in about various subjects,
yes, sir.
So we'll get to those. It is 6:29 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Thanks for being with us. We're going to talk about Fulton County a little bit. Let's head south on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's 6:35. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. This is Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Good morning. A lot of people texting in on some of the things we've been talking about, and you can too. You can also call if you want your dulcet tones to be on our show. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Let's Mark from Prairie du Sac says, if the Republicans adequately funded schools as the state constitution requires, the $325 wasn't to come from local funds but from state funds. So, and he says, we shouldn't forget that the Wisconsin idea for education was to produce citizens, not just labor.
Yes.
Yes, but citizens.
Citizens.
Citizens have ideas.
Yeah, we don't want them to have ideas. That gets dangerous when people have ideas.
Mm-hmm. Look what happened when we let the ladies vote.
That's right. We ruined the whole thing. We ruined
said
it
every
all.
Republican.
Everything was going wonderfully until we let those women vote.
And can I just... In case you're just joining us for the first time and thinking, what kind of animal is Jamie working with? I'm kidding, and it's obvious.
When well, we would be working together
like that,
if you actually thought that.
Right.
Let's be
and
real.
If you hear that voice, that's the uneducated
yes.
goofball.
Yes.
Hey, William sent us a text.
He
He's
did.
A new listener
he did.
From Richland Center.
He is. He's listening on WRCE. We were talking a little bit earlier about some comments J.D. Vance made on the Minnesota ICE drawdown. And he says, I'm a senior citizen who remembers Ronald Reagan's VP. I think Mr. Vance is really J.D.Q. Vance. Yes, that is J. Dan Quayle Vance. I think J.D. will follow in the footsteps of Dan Quayle as the Trump era finally ends. And then thanks us for our work on the news. Thank you so much
Very
for
nice.
The text this morning, William. We appreciate it.
I had not thought of Dan Quayle in forever. Don't you wish we could have a day where our biggest scandal was J.D. Vance misspelling potato?
Yes.
That be nice?
That would be amazing.
Oh.
Or if somebody trotted out in a tan suit.
Oh.
Or if somebody trotted out in a tan suit, those were our biggest
suit.
Scales.
And we'd just, we'd laugh and laugh and make fun of them.
Simpler
and it would be lighthearted because it didn't carry the weight of, you know, the president trying to usurp the Congress
yes.
and the Constitution and nationalizing elections.
Yes.
Which seems to be what's happening. Mm. It's the what's happening is the first step toward that in Georgia. Georgia officials yesterday filed a sealed federal court challenge seeking to return of election records, which were seized by the federal agents in the Fulton County warehouse where they've stored everything. The chairman said the county will use, quote, every resource to protect ballots and election materials. And the fact that people are not more outraged by this
yeah.
and that the media is not raising more of a stink about this. And I'm tired of the media using soft language.
Yes.
Trying to restructure the way elections are handled. No, no, no. We're trying to nationalize and take control of elections.
Well, let's hear let's hear from the Fulton County Commission Chair Rob Pitts, because he didn't hold back on what this actually means as far as lawfulness. So this is cut two, please. I mean, yeah.
I want to get that as a T-shirt.
Right.
And I mean that sincerely. Yes. That the Constitution is not a suggestion. We should show shirts. Hello.
Right.
Civic
yes.
Media.
I'll write it down.
Merch.
All right. Producers, write that down, please, because you and I won't remember it.
And don't – I could listen to Rob Pitts talk all day.
Oh,
just
he's awesome.
On a purely superficial note. He's got just enough of that Southern gentleman accent to not sound like Gomer Pyle,
right.
But to sound like he's – just sitting on a veranda and giving you a little bit of a lecture about how things are going
to go. I'll be honest, because of his voice, I listened to the entire, 20-minute press conference.
Yeah. Oh, I'm like, ooh, this guy's hypnotic.
He is. He really is.
But his message does carry weight. It is actually correct, and it's nice. Well, Georgia has stood up to Donald Trump since the first term. So good on Georgia for... And, another true purple state.
Well, and Chair Pitts is asking the federal judge to actually unseal the affidavit used to justify the search and to return the ballots and other materials taken from the site. Now, what I think is really interesting is because obviously this operation was unusual, to say the least. And it drew a lot of scrutiny because Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard was present during the search at the president's request. And then later... This is the part that I guess I missed in the story. She later facilitated a call with the president where he thanked the FBI agents. I missed that part of the story the first go around.
It wasn't when she was on the phone peeking around the corner like Natasha calling Boris.
Did they find the squirrel? Did they find the moose and the squirrel?
We must get some moose and squirrel. Rocky and Bullwinkle Boy Query.
Kind of feel like that's where we're at with people dressing up and showing up at locations. But I think that's odd.
I missed that call too.
At this point, where do we draw the line? And I get we're talking about this administration, but our intelligence agencies, our federal agencies, our intelligence agencies, our law enforcement agencies are supposed to be, separate from the president, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if the president is actually calling and talking to these agents, this line is completely blurred. And no, I'm not naive. I've known it's been blurred for a really long time. But this just shows how blurred we actually are right now and where there is no distinction between this administration and these basically independent agencies.
Because he's been allowed to make them his own personal
They're props right now.
Everybody answers to him. That's not how the system was set up. I have no problem when a president calls the SEALs and congratulates them on an operation because he is the commander in chief.
Of course.
That makes sense. You are not, as a president, you are not in control of all of those agencies or the Justice Department or really anything else. You have the final say with your veto and that kind of stuff, but Congress.
This is literally making our independent agencies props in political grievances because you lost an election 6 years ago. That's what this is. That's all this is right now. And that appearance matters. And even if we don't think it is, we cannot get numb to the fact that this is happening, because this is not normal. This is not what the Constitution says. This is not what our laws say. And we cannot be numb to the fact that the president is calling to thank these FBI agents for doing a raid on an election that has been basically, right. How many court cases have there been where this is set? They've told this man, you did not win the election. It was not fraudulent. Nothing nefarious happened. You just didn't win.
But I believe I won.
My gosh.
I believe I won. No, it's this is where we need everyone to speak up.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I look at all the people out protesting across the country, and I'm thinking, good. What, and our voices do carry weight. What we need are our leaders to really step up. And I'm not talking about in the federal, you know, in the administration. They're never going to speak up. They're locked and loaded. Their noses are firmly placed where their noses mm-hmm. have to be. And I'm not confident in all of our Democratic leaders.
No.
I think it's got to come down to state level, and you see governors standing up. Governor Walz, Governor Evers, Governor Pritzker, Governors Newsom.
Yep.
And then you've got people like Commissioner Pitts in Georgia.
Yep.
This is where the resistance really is going to come. And we need the media. I'm talking to you, my brothers and sisters mm-hmm. in journalism. You have to stop using soft language. You have to call things what they are. We need to... And I don't, again, we could do it with the Epstein files. These weren't women that we're talking about. They're girls. They're children. We need to say that. We need to say that this is in Georgia, an unconstitutional, illegal activity.
Yeah.
It is not under the purview of the president. And we need to use that language. And the more the message gets out, and I'm not talking about just made up messages like we get from the administration. Cite the Constitution. Tell people. It's like what we do, and we try to lighten it a little bit so it's not heavy handed with the civics lessons. People need to be reminded. We need this hammered home.
Yes.
And I think the more we hammer this message home, the better a chance that it will get through to people who may be on the fence now, starting to doubt the direction that this country is going in. And once they learn facts, that could influence how they make their decisions going forward.
I mean, honestly, for me, it's if you want to protect democracy, if you want this country to move forward and have any chance after this administration, this is really about saying enough is enough, right? Because elections don't belong to one candidate. They don't belong to one party. They don't belong to one administration. They belong to the voters. And no amount of raids or recycled conspiracy theories should be allowed to rewrite the voters' will and what they mm-hmm. chose at any given time in any given election. And I'll be honest. I mean, there have been elections that, you know, I've sat back and we're like, maybe in the past few years, where I've been like, really? This is what we chose? But at the same time, I didn't sit there and say that the elections were fraudulent. I didn't say that people's vote shouldn't be counted. It is what it is, and it's unfortunate. And I know that we don't always like the candidates that are being elected, but at the same time, we cannot continue to walk out all of these old conspiracy theories and say that we need to examine this and we need to do this. And this is why they do it, though, right? Because it sows that seed of doubt. Because now, if you're going to go vote in the midterms, will my election count? Will my vote count? Will this election even matter? Hoping to dissuade people from actually showing up and standing in the damn line for hours mm-hmm. on end so that they can cast a vote, right? Because they want people to be upset, and they want people to think that these things don't matter, and they do. These things matter. And it's your constitutional right to cast that vote, no matter what this administration tries to tell us.
Exactly right. We've got to get out there. You got to do it. And I know it sounds trite, but it is not. I would love to talk to a Trump voter, and you're probably not listening, but if you are, we'd love to hear from you. 855-757, because what I want to know is, what is it about, as we look around the world and we see countries that are under authoritarian regimes where one person basically takes all your choices away
mm-hmm.
and you vote, but it's just for show. It doesn't really matter because these people are staying in power. What is it that makes you think that's a better system than what we have?
Yeah.
Because I don't see it, but I'd be interested to hear. And seriously, I don't want to, I'm not arguing. I'm just like China, what do the citizens in China, how are they better off than we are? Where do you think this is going to go?
Right. Yeah. And when Pitts is standing at a podium, basically warning us that Georgia election officials could be arrested, that goes beyond intimidation. That goes beyond intimidation.
Right.
And again, that's the goal. They want you to feel like that. And that's not what this country was based on. It is 6:48 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. We're talking Muppets in just a few minutes, right?
Thank God, yes. And the question is, what was your favorite TV show as a kid? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We need a little breather, and we're going to take it next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
6:52 right now. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. This is Civic Media Mornings. How can you not be happy when you hear the Muppets theme? And we will talk about the Muppets in just a moment. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Good morning. Yes, we ask you to call in. And the question for right now, what was your favorite TV show when you were a kid? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And we want you to know that your voices are heard. So some of the texts that have been coming in when we were talking about the 400-year partial veto and the Fulton County things. First, Roger in Stevens Point says, because of this mess, we have been funding not one but two pre-K through grade 12 school systems. Most people are not aware this academic year that bill is $700.7 million. They defend choice or voucher schools that receive our tax dollars don't have to follow the same mandates, transparency, or accountability as required of our public schools. John weighs in on that issue as well. He's in Oshkosh. The million sent to voucher schools would help. Crazy idea, I know. that whole separation and state the founders harped about.
And we've got Ron in Janesville chiming in this morning, reading the wrong window over here. The future of the United States is where states start compacts, and we just removed the federal government responsibility. Scott in Madison listening on WMDX. Thank you for the text. And we also have Jim from Campbell Sport chiming in this morning saying, fear sells. He's listening on WAUK. Thank you so much for the input this morning. And if you want to get in on the conversation or even tell us what your favorite show was as a kid, or even, you know, maybe as a young adult, we'd love to hear from you this morning. 1-855-752-4842. That's 1-855-75-CIVIC. The Muppets are back.
I was, Jamie, I'm not exaggerating when I tell you I could not have been more excited to watch The Muppet Show last night.
Yeah.
It was on ABC. If not, it's on Disney Plus. But it's a half-hour, one-time special. They're trying to see if there's an appetite for The Muppet Show. And it was, if you watched The Muppet Show back in the day, which was on in the 70s, Parker, that was a time before cell phones, before streaming.
What?
There was no internet.
They put a, oh, God.
Children's
like a
puppet show
time.
In prime time. It was a lovely time.
It was such a good time.
It was wonderful. The half hour I spent, my wife and I watched it together. No kids in the house. The dogs didn't care. We were laughing like imbeciles. It was so much fun. Everybody was there. Kermit, Miss Piggy, Gonzo, Fozzie. They were all there. They were a Scooter,
the
show.
No,
and it was just wonderful.
I have not gotten to watch it yet. We were talking a little before we went on the air today. The Muppet Show is a favorite of ours. My husband may or may not have purchased an entire 300 VHS tape collection at one time from Time Life Warner. Remember when they used to have those 3-hour infomercials on at night? Yeah, so we have not had a chance to watch it. We fully intend on doing so this weekend using our Disney Plus streaming service. Now, this is part of the franchise's 50th anniversary celebration. And I know you watched it because, obviously, who doesn't want to watch this? Sabrina Carpenter part of this, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Sabrina Carpenter was on. And I know who Sabrina Carpenter is. I know some of her music. I thought she did a nice job. And I will say, we were theorizing yesterday as we were talking about this, if there was going to be, you know, some subversive jokes for adults.
Sure.
There was one.
Okay.
And I'm not going to spoil it for you because you're going to watch it. There was one that kids would not get. Adults would definitely get it. And, you know, there was the usual Muppet banter.
Yes.
So there were
well, of course,
jokes and ball breaking going on throughout the show. But Sabrina had one line to Kermit, and we will. I'll just
okay.
Leave it there.
I'm excited.
I don't want to spoil
I'm excited. Now, in case you're wondering, this project is executive produced by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, and then also members of the Jim Henson Company. So very, very excited for this. Rogen usually puts when he puts his stamp on something, it's usually very well done. So,
and you know what's nice? He did not. He wasn't. He was in there two very short times. Very nice. Maya Rudolph has a nice little cameo in there.
Awesome.
It was great. A lot of Jamie, we could talk about politics all day, and people are like, we're tired of it. We talk about what's your favorite TV show as a kid. Here we go. The text flying in.
That's right.
Steven is in Mount Horeb. He says Gilligan's Island was his favorite show. Who didn't love Gilligan's Island?
Come on now. Everybody loved Gilligan.
Can we turn our attention to the boy Aquarium for a second? Because we actually got a message from our own Parker. He watched a lot of Hogan's Heroes. Do you think... Do you think a show about funny Nazis could be made today?
No.
Funny Nazis in a prison camp?
No, I'm pretty sure that would not.
But we loved it because the Nazis were the doofuses.
Yes.
Yeah, it was great.
Yes.
It was great.
Lynn in Golden Valley chiming in on listening on 93.5 The Tap. She says Johnny Quest and Sheehan or he.
I know Johnny Quest. I don't know who.
Okay.
I don't know Sheehan.
I don't either. Maybe I have to be honest. I was thinking about this, some of my favorite shows growing up as a kid. I loved
McNeil Lehrer NewsHour.
No, Murphy Brown though was on my all-time favorite list.
Brown,
by the way,
okay.
Hello, I also loved Hee Haw. Do you guys remember Hee Haw? Oh my gosh, that
Lynn likes Hee Haw too. She spelled it three different ways, but she loved Hee Haw too.
And that one is very special to me because my grandpa lived with us for a while. So every Saturday night, I got to stay up extra late, and my grandpa and I would have hot chocolate and popcorn, and we would snuggle by the fire, and we would watch Hee Haw together. So I don't actually think it was the show. I think it was just being able to hang out with my grandpa, who I was so incredibly close to. I will also say that I will always have an affinity, and I think this would top a lot of people's list. I will always have an affinity for Golden Girls. I don't care how old those episodes get. I will always have an affinity for Golden Girls. Who doesn't love a little Sophia Petrillo in their life? We should all have a little Sophia in us,
a little bit.
Way. Yeah.
A little bit. I love the Partridge Family because I had such a crush on Susan Day. As a, you know, I was in like seventh grade. She was right about that age. I was like, oh, Susan Day, Lori Partridge, hubba.
Yeah. Now, do you have a favorite Muppet character, though?
Animal.
100%.
Animal followed closely by Fozzie.
Okay. I would say Miss Piggy and the Swedish Chef. Because he gets to just walk around and mumble things and everybody thinks he's awesome. It's 6:59 right now. You are listening to Civic Media Mornings. I am Jamie Martinson.
And a big shakeup in the news. We want to know where you get your news, other than here, of course, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.